This is Jay Sekulow. The president calls for major reform at the United Nations.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The declaration of support for United Nations reform began as a way to give momentum to Secretary General Guterres' efforts to bring greater efficiency, accountability, and transparency to the UN. 128 nations have signed on to the declaration as of this morning, and we're still counting. That is a supermajority.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We seek a United Nations that regains the trust of the people around the world. In order to achieve this, the United Nations must hold every level of management accountable, protect whistleblowers, and focus on results rather than on process.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Simple question to ask you. The United Nations, what do you think the United States' response should be, and is it in need of reform? We'll take your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. The president was already at the United Nations in New York. He said in his opening speech to the UN that there is a need of great reform. He talks about the fact that it hasn't reached its full potential. Take a listen to what the president said just a little while ago.
In recent years, the United Nations has not reached its full potential because of bureaucracy and mismanagement. While the United Nations on a regular budget has increased by 140% and its staff has more than doubled since 2000, we are not seeing the results in line with this investment.
I think that's a very accurate statement. And remember, our ACLJ, our ECLJ, European Center for Law and Justice, is a recognized non-governmental organization at the UN. And Jordan, you've appeared before the UN many times. We do a lot of work at the United Nations. But there are some big issues on the agenda. Iran, Israel and the Palestinian Authority, North Korea, Russia. I mean, there's a lot at play here.
That's right. And the president is correct in this meeting he first did. Now, the major speech is tomorrow.
Yep.
We'll be covering that. That should be before our radio broadcast if they stay on schedule there. But what the president's participating in today is actually at a sit-down kind of forum on UN reform, and it is something greatly needed. You will hear that from our team that works there, you know, daily inside these international organizations, and for those of us who, every so often appear to give remarks. The way it is run, the way it is staffed, the corruption within, which is unbelievable, the amount of corruption there
inside the United Nations.
When we pay, I just want to remind people, 22% of the budget. So we have a lot to say. When you pay a quarter of the budget of an international organization like this, you can call on reform and a change, much like in Washington, D.C. The idea of kind of draining the U.N. swamp, the bureaucracy.
Same kind of problem.
The way too many staff, way too slow to act, not as the president said, not to do away with it, not as effective as it should be.
So I'm going to be actually in New York tomorrow during the U.N. on U.N.-related matters. So, and including Pastor Andrew Brunson, who is coming up on 1 year anniversary of his imprisonment in Turkey. There's going to be four topics that the president hits. That's going to be reforming of the United Nations, Iran, Venezuela, North Korea, and I'm sure many others. We're going to be up there dealing on behalf of Israel, on behalf of Pastor Brunson, as well as some of the other key issues that we deal with globally, including the issue of genocide of Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East. So I will be actually in New York tomorrow. We're taking your calls when we come back from the break. If you want to talk to us about what the president should say to the UN, what do you expect out on the North Korea side of this? There's a lot to discuss. And what do you think our involvement with the UN should be? You know, let me say something clearly. You can't ignore it. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, you can ignore it. You can't ignore it. That's why we engage it. But we want to know what your thoughts are. And what would you have me convey tomorrow on behalf of Israel, on behalf of Pastor Andrew Brunson, who's being held in Turkey? We want to know what you have to say about that at 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. Give us a call right now. As you said, the phone lines just opened up, 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope. Just get in your comments at facebook.com/JSekulow, Periscope and Twitter at JSekulow and ACLJ.org.
I did say we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the incarceration of Pastor Andrew Brunson. There's going to be some meetings coming up with the president, and I think an early one on Thursday. I'm hopeful that maybe during that conversation, the president will once again seek the release. He's been very aggressive in trying to get the release of Pastor Brunson. We'll talk more about it.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So this is United Nations Week, and the president will be making a bit. He already commented this morning on participating in a panel on UN reform. He's going to make a major speech tomorrow. I'm going to be in New York tomorrow as well on a variety of meetings, including the issue of Pastor Andrew Brunson, as well as, of course, our ongoing defense of the state of Israel. I'm going to be speaking with officials, and I'm going to be speaking with some leadership tomorrow, 50 people that are real influence makers from around the world. I want to know what you'd have me say to them and what you'd like me to communicate. And that's important to hear from our folks that listen to this broadcast and participate in the ACLJ, whether it's on North Korea, whether it's on Israel, whether it's for the release of Pastor Brunson. We'll take your calls on all of that and just tell us what you want us to say. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We encourage you to give us a call. Let us know what you have to say. President, also, in the theme of reforming the United Nations, which we talked about during our break here, we'll talk again. But listen to what President Trump said. This is number 32.
We encourage the Secretary General to fully use his authority to cut through the bureaucracy, reform outdated systems, and make firm decisions to advance the UN's core mission.
He also made an important statement I hope we're trying to get, that he said this: I know that under the Secretary General that things are changing. We've seen it. We seek a united nation that regains the trust of people around the world. We must hold every level of management accountable. Jordan, you and Than do a lot of work at the United Nations. There is this lack of not only transparency, accountability, mm-hmm. but we participated for many years in this, but there's this sense of almost hopelessness in that you have these meetings and nothing seems to happen.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the Security Council is the one place that can, you know, take action. That's yep. the 15 members. But it's really the permanent five, and two of those permanent five prevent most real action. That's Russia and China. They water down sanctions. They are difficult to convince on any kind of military action. That's where, though, you still see the real heavyweights of the world debating. You get outside the Security Council, though, into most UN business. Yeah. That's where you've got these staff increases of, as the president noted, it's 140% of budget increase. The staff has doubled in the last 18 years, doubled. At the United Nations, and those General Assembly resolutions are, they can be nasty, like against Israel, but they have no force of weight. If it's not through the Security Council, they yeah. are just resolutions. And so they spend a lot of time, as I said, I'm not talking about the Security Council resolutions, I'm talking about General Assembly resolutions, passing resolutions in committees, passing resolutions.
That don't matter.
The General Assembly. And you know what they're not doing? They're not doing enough to stop the genocide by ISIS. They're not doing yeah. enough to prevent the North Korean human rights abuses They don't step in there. And that's because of the power players like Russia and China, who hold a lot of influence in these non-aligned countries, who are not part of Western Europe, who are not part of the necessarily Western blocs. And that includes a lot of African countries, a lot of Latin American countries as well, who take those kind of neutral approaches, which really means siding against taking action against a place like North Korea. And that's why the sanctions against North Korea are tougher. That's why oil is still they still have gas.
So I think the issues that we're looking at right now from the ACLJ's perspective that we want to get your opinions on are what do you see the communication level to be, or what we should be talking about? Iran, Israel, the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson. I don't think you know that. And of course, North Korea. And our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We just want to hear from you and what you'd have us talk about, especially on Pastor Brunson as well, because that's supposed to be a NATO ally with Turkey. President's going to be meeting on Thursday, and we're urging the release of Pastor Brunson. I will tell you, Secretary Tillerson, Vice President Pence, the President of the United States, President Trump have all been aggressive on that, but we need to keep that aggressive up as we are approaching the one-year anniversary of his incarceration. So again, we want to hear what you would have us talk about it and explain and express to these various people that we'll be involved with. 1-800-684-3110. I did have an opportunity to speak with Nikki Haley, our ambassador to the United Nations. She now has a cabinet level appointment, by the way, that's under this administration. And we talked about Andrew Brunson's case specifically. So we're getting some help there too. But again, 800-684-3110. Why don't we go ahead and take a comment or call, Logan?
All right, let's go to John in Arizona on line one. Like you said, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Hey, John.
Hi. How we doing over there?
We're doing great. How are you?
Good, good, good. I have a burning question. I don't even know if Iran is part of the UN. I'm assuming they are.
Yes.
And my question, like many people, is what's throughout the United States, especially Christians and Jews, what's it going to take to unwind the whole messy, probably the worst deal that any president has ever done in this country, to unwind the Iranian nuclear deal?
Yeah, very good question and very tough, because you've got a situation where a lot of the, even if the United States were to pull out of this so-called agreement, it's not really a written agreement. The problem is, and this is the difficulty, is the European countries are already engaging in business enterprises with the Iranians. So that's an ongoing situation. But I will tell you this, the president is meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu today about the Iranian deal. So this is a concern that's up there, and we've been following that closely.
Iran is issuing threats. Now, most of their threats are not so for real. I mean, we know that they've been an agitator, obviously, a top agitator in the region, and the problem that they pose with North Korea, because now that they are free of most sanctions, they are able to fund a lot of this North Korean advancement in missile technology and nuclear technology, because they want to benefit from that for their own nuclear program. So they're kind of funding the North Koreans to do what they're not allowed to do under the agreement right now. Plus, you never can trust them to be really complying. Yeah. They're very difficult to actually get access to their facilities. So it will be October when the U.S. will decide whether or not to give this another a year or not. That means that certifying that they're in agreement. But as you mentioned, the big point of it is you could say that the U.S. is pulling out and we can issue sanctions. But we, to really make our pulling out of this agreement effective, we'd have to issue a sanction that said if you do business with Iran, you cannot do business in the United States. And that would be all of Europe, not just Russia, China.
I know.
All of Europe. And so economically, we told everybody this. Once you get into a deal like this, getting out of it, you can start the undoing process, but it's a major diplomatic timeline. So I think you got to give time to do that.
I like to see what we're seeing on Facebook and Periscope. But let me tell you a challenge that I'm laying out before you. And this is something we have been working very hard on. We thought we've had this worked out a couple of times. That was the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson. He's an American citizen from North Carolina. He's been ministering in Turkey for 23 years, had a church in Izmir, never had a problem. After the so-called coup in Turkey last summer, in July of 2016, he was arrested and has been held in jail now for almost a year, charged with crimes against the state, you know, basically being a spy. I mean, it's the normal ridiculous charges that these regimes tend to put forward. The problem is the regime is Turkey, and Turkey's a NATO ally. Forget a UN member. And Iran signed on all these Universal Declaration of Rights, and so is Turkey. But the reality of what you're dealing with is quite different. There's two sides to this, if you will, as far as how these things are perceived. So we're having to engage on a really aggressive level for his release. Here's what I'd like to be able to tell members and leadership at the UN that we're going to be speaking with tomorrow and the days ahead, that we've heard from people in all 50 states. There's been a petition up for Andrew Brunson that we appreciate. 250, maybe 300,000 people have, 320,000, I believe, have already signed it. But it's something the UN is taking an interest in. So what I want to encourage you to do is call us right now on our phone at 800-684-3110 and tell me what you want us to communicate about his situation. Again, Israel's situation, Iran's situation, and North Korea, because these are all serious issues confronting the country. And, of course, we'll have more from the president's comments and Nikki Haley's in a moment. Logan, what are we seeing on Facebook and Periscope?
Yeah, Tito just said, I'm really sorry, but it seems like the UN failed in its purpose for the unity of all nations. And DJ is saying it seems like if nobody takes the UN seriously, it's like paperwork and no action. It's a lot of comments like that. And the typical question that comes in every time we bring this up, which is, why are we even in the UN? Should we be out of the UN? Which I think we've answered thousands of times, but it's worth addressing.
All right, so here's what you got. I mean, look, here, you know, some people say UN is like, you know, what does it stand for? Well, I mean, United Nations. Other people will say it stands, it, you know, it's, is it really necessary? Well, here's the situation. Whether it's necessary or not, it's a world body you've got to engage. We've been engaging at the UN for now going on 15 years, and we've seen some success. Look, I mean, Jordan, you've appeared before the United Nations Human Rights Council for speeches on multiple occasions. Gregor Popunic, our ECLJ director, is going to be there, I think, when they're back in Geneva.
Yeah.
On the religious persecution issue, the genocide issue. These are all real issues
life
that
issue,
we're dealing with.
They're
the life
trying
issue.
To redefine. At the Human Rights Council, the right to life to include the right to abortion. And I think about the twisted wording there. And at the UN, there's actually been a pretty strong pro-life move because many countries, even some who are not always aligned with the U.S., have okay policies when it comes to the life issue. But this time around, things are changing, and that's because of the overall just leftist influence. So the right to life may include, and we're fighting back very aggressively, along with groups like the Holy See and others with representation there, because they want to change the right to life to include the right to abortion.
Yeah, it's preposterous.
It's so backwards. But
we are, today is our deadline for action at the UN to defend those Christians that are being persecuted for their faith. We've got a petition up at ACLJ.org. We've got an email going out on that. We encourage you to sign it and be participating in that. We've heard, as I said, from hundreds of thousands of people. Logan, let everybody know how they can stay engaged here. We'll take calls and comments when we come back.
Yep, we only have one line open. You can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in on social media. I think we're going to have some band videos that are going to run during some of the breaks. What about the upcoming show?
Chicago on Wednesday, or Elgin, Illinois, outside of Chicago. J. Secular Band at Judson University, 7 o'clock. All the ACLJ band, as I call the J. Secular Band, but it's our team here, will be there, and we encourage you to come as well. See us on Wednesday night.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel J. Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
You know, the president has made the statement, and I think this is true, and I want to get your, this is another one we'd like to get your opinion on. Do you have trust in the United Nations? Is there any capacity of you in the UN right now where you have trust? We'll take your comments on that at 1-800-684-3110. Just tell us what you think on that. Here's what the president said, number 31.
We seek a United Nations that regains the trust of the people around the world. In order to achieve this, the United Nations must hold every level of management accountable, protect whistleblowers, and focus on results rather than on process.
I think this is, look, I think this is exactly right. And then, and the question that we're asking you is, what do you think we should be getting out of the UN? And do you think we, I mean, we got a lot of people saying, I don't have trust in the UN, but give us a call on that. We want to know where, how could the UN regain your trust? Would it be passing less anti-Israel resolutions? There are more resolutions against Israel than any other nation state combined. That might be a good start. Again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Nikki Haley also has been aggressive about this. She's made some statement. I want to play number seven. This is Nikki Haley talking about her view of the United Nations.
The UN, when I originally spoke with the president, what I said is, we'll see what we can make of it. And that's the thing, is we're creating an opportunity. We're making the most of it. We're moving foreign policy. We're changing the way peacekeeping is done. We're really bringing up human rights. And more importantly, what I appreciate is they stopped focusing on the commas and the periods, and we're actually acting. We're actually seeing strong things happen. And so I think the president has always believed there's great potential in the United Nations. But I think now the world is seeing it, that it is actually changing and it's actually becoming more effective.
All right. Well, I think, by the way, Nikki Haley, I said I was with her in Washington on Friday. She's doing a great job and got to talk to her about Pastor Andrew Brunson's case. So I'm encouraged about that. Again, we'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another call or a comment. Logan, your choice.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Kim in Pasadena, California. And a couple lines are open. Give us a call. Kim, you're on the air.
Hey, Kim.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard on the radio yesterday that the United Nations meeting tomorrow, that Putin will not be there, and also the president of China will not be there. And I was wondering why.
That is correct. They don't always attend. I mean, the United States is almost an unofficial host, so in the sense because it's in the UN's in the United States. But I don't think there's anything particular about it. No. They sometimes they come every other year. We don't have the breakdown of when it is. But I mean, it's not every year that the various leaders come. But there will be a lot going on involving. Let me tell you, there'll be a lot going on about China and Russia at these meetings.
Yeah, all of their top officials are there. Their foreign ministry and top diplomats. What the difference is if you want to make remarks as a foreign leader, you don't see the Chinese president regularly making remarks like that. And then Putin, I think he understands the tone right now of the world towards Russia. There's a lot of Western European countries, Eastern European countries, Central European countries that are nervous about Russia after what happened in Ukraine. And so I think that there's, again, does he have anything to say at the international level that he wants broadcast that way? That's what is different between those countries and countries like the United States, where our leaders come forward and address the United Nations.
Yep.
It's a big deal. I think also these leaders realize they are all going to be overshadowed because this is President Trump's first address at the UN. And that is going to get – to understand the scope of this address tomorrow, folks, you need to understand this is the one speech by the president, not just a soundbite, but speech that goes all over the world. So what is said tomorrow is said not on behalf of just the White House. It's said
right
on behalf of the United States of America.
Also, it's interesting to point out that H.R. McMaster, President Trump's national security advisor, said this regarding Iran and that situation. While their conversations will be wide-ranging, talking about the president expected to meet with Israel and France to discuss Iran, he said, we expect that Iran's destabilizing behavior, including its violation of the sovereignty of nations across the Middle East, to be a major focus. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson takes a similar view, and he said, since the nuclear deal has been concluded, what we have witnessed in Iran has stepped up its destabilizing activities in Yemen. It has stepped up its destabilizing the activities in Syria. And I think all of us are concerned about where the situation with Iran is going. Let's go ahead and take another call or comment. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Margarita in Florida on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Margarita. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Margarita Marie. I'm calling from Florida. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Earlier you were quoting President Trump. I don't agree with him in many things, but when he does, I will. And he is more concerned about the brunt of the expenses being for the United Nations being on the American people.
Yeah.
I agree with him on that. It should be. Okay. Now, with that said, I'm trying to understand, and I hope you can explain in layman terms, what is the benefit of the United States for the people of the United States of being a part of the UN? For example, we are run by a decentralized government. I'm going to finish my statement, please.
Yep.
So look at the natural disasters in Texas and Florida recently. They were handled well because we have a decentralized government. Unlike Venezuela, I don't need to go there. You know what's happening there because of centralized government. I'm from Florida.
Margarita, where are you in Florida, and how are things down in your area?
I'm about to tell you. In in Florida, they had claimed millions without power. 2 weeks later, because of decentralized government, it's down to less than 400,000.
Yeah. So I mean, here's what you have. I mean, you're asking the question of, does a UN bureaucracy, is it worth the United States staying engaged? And that's what you're saying. And the fact is, I don't think we have an option. I don't like that we spend 22% of that we underwrite 22% of the cost. I mean, I don't think any of us like that because it seems so disproportionate. But there are issues that the UN deals with that impact directly the United States.
So far, it has prevented another world war.
Yes.
I mean, remember that alone, that 22% we pay, which, again, we use to pressure and we give a lot of control then. We have that permanent veto always over anything at the UN. You're never going to give that power up. You can veto anything on your own, any kind of UN action, any kind of international action. Ultimately, the real focus of the UN should not be on condemning Israel, condemning the United States, and it should be on it's keeping world peace and order. Does not mean there will not be conflicts. There could be a conflict with North Korea. There's obviously a conflict in Syria, Iraq, but those have not broken out since really the creation of the UN. Even the Cold War is a perfect example. It never reached. You had regional conflicts, Vietnam. You had, but you did not have World War II type scenarios, or even where you had that kind of casualty level.
No, that's true.
And especially, so a lot of this is keeping. For the most part, it was the Western world.
Yep.
But now that's expanded past where you've got these world powers. So I think we can't forget that. It's not a governing agency in the sense of dealing with a hurricane. It's a place so that you make sure you don't have another war that costs millions of lives. You will have regional conflicts always, and we have them right now. And there are U.S. troops in harm's way. There are U.S. troops that lose their lives. But you do not have 500,000 U.S. troops casualties. And that is the difference by why we have the U.N.
All right, we're going to be taking more calls at 1-800-684-3110, but we're also here for another 30 minutes.
That's right. You can get that online or if on your local radio station. Many of them carry it, but if they don't or you want to change up, you get to watch us on television-style broadcast online, aclj.org, facebook.com/jsekulo, Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulo, also at Jay Sekulo on Twitter. Make sure you follow us on all social medias. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/jsekulo, aclj. Jay Sekulo, Jordan Sekulo on Twitter, Logan Sekulo. You can find us. You can find us there, everywhere you want. You can find us. You can download the
everywhere
ACLJ app for your iPhone, your iPad, Apple TV. Also, a ACLJ channel in the Roku channel store. You can subscribe to the Jay Sekulo Live podcast on iTunes or however you get your entertainment.
If you're in the Chicagoland area, remember Jay Sekulo Band Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Judson University. We'll talk to you again in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. The president's going to address four issues of what we're being told at his U.N. General Assembly speech tomorrow. Reform of the U.N., Iran, Venezuela, and North Korea. We are addressing at the European Center for Law and Justice, our affiliate, that is an NGO with the United Nations, issues involving Israel, the Middle East, Iran, North Korea, but also specifically Pastor Andrew Brunson, an American citizen who's being held in jail in Turkey. His charges, basically he's a Christian minister, and Erdogan picked him up in this post-coup sweep that they had, and he'd been there for 23 years as pastor, never had an issue. So we're raising that issue at the UN on multiple levels. We've had filings on that, and we'll also take your calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. The president's national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, said this at a White House press briefing about the president's speech tomorrow.
The president's Tuesday morning speech to the General Assembly will emphasize the need for states to promote peace and prosperity while upholding sovereignty and accountability as indispensable foundations of international order. He will urge all states to come together to address grave dangers that threaten us all. If nations meet these challenges, immense opportunity lies before us.
Well, there you have it. So, I mean, there's no question that there are significant issues developing on this. And again, we're taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. And we'll be addressing a lot of these issues in New York, UN-related events tomorrow. Let's go. You want to take, do we have time for a call? Yeah, Logan, we could do a call.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Janet in Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Janet. You're on the air.
Good morning. God bless all of you guys for your hard work. I would like to see the United Nations be more responsive and take people to task, including to trial for war crimes against religious minorities, especially Christians in places like the Middle East and Sudan.
Well, look, we're pushing really, really aggressively on that. We filed last month a series of briefs with the United Nations Human Rights Council. We are advocating in federal court to get a better understanding of what the policy is on genocide. We have really expanded our largest global advocacy effort, not just for Christians facing genocide, but for other religious minorities. This is a serious, serious problem, and we are working really aggressively on this, and that will be part of what we address tomorrow. But, Jordan, you've appeared before the UN on these issues.
Yeah, specifically on persecution, and I'll tell you, I mean, I've been there with the ambassadors from Iran are there and Sudan are there, and sometimes they will come up to you after and say, you know, I wish our country wasn't like this. And they play that diplomatic game, and they may be sincere, they may not, but let me tell you, they're not doing anything about it. You know, they're not gonna push. That's because in many of these repressive countries, even their top diplomats are fearful for their lives, because politicians regularly are also, if you look at Christians, I'd say, religious minorities, and then anybody involved in government are the most persecuted people. So when they get purged out, you know, every so often.
Right.
And so you are dealing with there is the European group that obviously is not concerned about that, and they kind of just go about their days. And our European staff fights that back aggressively. But again, it is to come together in that segment. That's why I think, you know, it's easy to say, why do we have this? There's no other place to be able to communicate to that many countries as an organization like the ACLG or through our European Center.
Yep.
You can't walk into a room and talk to 100 plus countries. You can at the UN if you have the status that we do.
I think about Youssef Narlikhani, the pastor that was in jail in Iran. I think about Saeed Abedini. I think about, of course, we got Pastor Andrew Brunson, Asiya Bibi, who's still being held captive in jail in Pakistan. I could go through the list. Miriam Ibrahim in Sudan. We engaged very aggressively there at the UN and got good support. And that international support on those issues is significant. Defending Israel at the UN, you're unfortunately in a defense mode the entire time. But Nikki Haley will play some of her bites coming back from the break. She has been really strong on the situation of our ally Israel. What are you seeing online, Logan? We're getting ready to take a break. We'll take more calls at 800-684-3110 in a moment.
Yeah, a lot of just non-trust and people commenting about that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there is this sense that we're spending a lot of money and not getting a lot in return. I think that
trust the UN. And I know that at the Security Council, we can prevent anything we don't like. And that's the one agency at the UN that has teeth, and we're able to stop the bad and promote the good. So, I mean, there it's difficult, but we can stop the worst and stop anything we want.
That's pretty much it. I mean,
that's
if you can stop the wind, that's
away.
You don't want to give that away. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Talk about Andrew Brunson when we come back from the break. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. President said he's going to address four things: reform at the UN. It's already started. Iran, Venezuela, and North Korea. Let me tell you what we're addressing. Israel. We're going to hit that very heavily. Christian genocide and genocide of others in the Middle East and religious persecution by jihadists. That's number two on our list. And these aren't, by the way, in orders of importance. These are just the issues that we're hitting. The other issue we're going to hit, of course, is the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson, American citizen, been in jail. The UN's a good place to do this in Turkey, a NATO ally. Erdogan's going to be there. The president's going to be meeting with him on Thursday. We're going to urge, again, the president's been very aggressive, as has the vice president, as has the secretary of state, but I want to see his release. So what would you have me share to his family? What would you have me share to him? I mean, just the fact that you all are praying for him and thinking about that family means a lot. But I'm going to have the opportunity to speak to some leaders, and I want to know what you'd have us say. Again, you can call us at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's go ahead and take a phone call or a comment. I think let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, Will's calling in Colorado Springs, Colorado. You're on the air. Give us a call.
Hey, Will.
Yeah, hi, Jay.
Yes, sir.
And just short and sweet, I want him to grow some teeth and quit being a paper tiger.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we hear it all the time, and these other countries are like, it's a joke to them. They're like, oh, they're going to get together and say, stop doing what you're doing. Okay, yeah, right, and change the channel. You know, being a veteran, my first reaction is put a lot of people out there with blue berets on and say, you try diplomatic means, you know, and you try embargoes, and you try trade sanctions, and you try the and document it, say, we've tried everything. Now send in the berets, because enough's enough. Try to hit them in their pocket.
All right, so here's what – let me play this for you, Will. This is Nikki Haley talking about North Korea. Pretty tough. Here you go.
We all know that if North Korea keeps on with this reckless behavior, if the United States has to defend itself or defend its allies in any way, North Korea will be destroyed. And we all know that. And none of us want that. None of us want war.
But there is, reckless behavior and with our allies is serious stuff. And I think that's why I think North Korea clearly is on the agenda item for what's going to be happening at the United Nations. Now, let's talk about, I think it's important for you to understand what that means. So, Jordan, when they say it's an agenda item, if you've done this, I've done it. An agenda item, there's absolutely dialogue. We've actually submitted legal documentation for instance, on the issue of Christian genocide, which is going to be up at the UN discussions. We submit legal documents on this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so that's what you have to do. You've got to get before the UN, get information there, provide the legal argument, policy arguments as well. And I will tell you, that is what makes our organization so unique, is that though we focus obviously a lot on things that impact the United States when we're on this radio broadcast, We have offices not just in Europe, but all over the world. And because of that, at the UN, we're able to utilize each of those offices. Sometimes, you know, we've utilized one of us, an American. Oftentimes, it's our French staff because, again, it gives a different light on, we're all in agreement on the issues, you know, when it comes to the right to life for the unborn. But having someone from France make that presentation at the Human Rights Council, you're already getting over the Americanism issue.
Right.
And we're able to do that.
Yeah.
And if we need to bring in staff from Kenya to make, we could do that. There's not many other organizations like ours. On the other side of the issue, that's what they do. I mean, this is, they are, and by the way, those groups are all anti-Israel, pro-abortion, and they lump all those issues together.
That's what's so bizarre.
It's all together. And so that there's that side. There's like the Human Rights Watch of the world, which sounds nice, except, and sometimes they do okay things, but oftentimes it's questionable, to say the least. They have these giant budgets, but we're able to counteract that. And along with working with the U.S. government, which has obviously a major impact at the U.N., we can have a huge voice there. So I think giving this up, I get everybody's concerned, why are we part of this? You're never going to give up the ability to veto anything you want and the idea that you can assert more control if you want. The Obama administration let the UN grow like this. They let the UN double its budget and us keep paying for it, and 140% increase, you know, double staff, 140% increase in budget. But we don't have to allow that because we provide not just 22% of the normal budget, but also billions in discretionary operations.
Yep. But you know what's so interesting? I'm looking at the so-called Iran deal and how this has been formulated. And you've got in a provision that talks about that the E3 and EU3, these are the countries that signed into the Iran deal or became a part of it, and Iran reaffirmed their commitment to the purposes and principles of the United Nations as set out in the UN Charter. Does anybody really believe that for a moment, that the Iranians are going to fulfill what's in the UN Charter on Human Rights and Civil Liberties and Religious Freedom? Or these, Syria is a member of the United Nations. I mean, you understand that. Assad's regime is a part of the UN. So these entities sign on to this, and that's when the previous caller said, you know, where's the teeth? That's part of the reforming of the entity that has to take place. And so you've got more of this is you got to get UN action here. It's not just words, and you got to realize what you're dealing with on a global scale. You utilize the best you can, but understand also what you're dealing with. Again, we'll take calls at 800-684-3110. Comment?
Yeah, a lot of comments are coming in. A lot of people are talking about, obviously, Pastor Brunson. They're wanting his release. This is a question from Isabella. Said Turkey's considered a NATO ally.
Yes.
They have a question of how that is conversation with Brunson.
Well, so here's what happens. I mean, this is different. When we were negotiating for Amir Hekmati's release, let's say, or Saeed Abedini's release, or Miriam Ibrahim's, and you're dealing with Sudan and Iran, there's not a formal relationship where there's an ally
channel,
country. Yeah. Right. With Turkey, with Brunson, what is so frustrating, I think, for all of us is the fact that here's an American citizen, operated in a church in Turkey for 23 years, and what is the end result of this? He's in jail, and it's not in jail in the Sudan or in jail in Iran. It's in Turkey, a U.S. ally under NATO. And I think, Jordan, that's the frustrating aspect of this, is that we have not been able to, and look, I'm frustrated with this, we've not been able to secure his release from a NATO ally.
Yeah, that's right, and it is frustrating because we're not dealing with Iran. We're not dealing with North Korea. We're dealing with a country which is supposed to be a military ally of the United States. I mean, basically the deepest bonds you can have. We will fight together. We will defend each other. I mean, that's what NATO is about. And so these matters, which, again, it should be very easy to resolve, but you've seen Turkey is not a normal NATO member, and certainly that has changed. But, you know, I think at a point that they can act like strongmen all they want, like Erdogan. Their entire military is because of the U.S. government. Their entire operation, the reason why they have the control they have or the power that they have in the region is because of what we provide. Now, we don't want them to move to the east to the point where they get all of that from Russia or China. But I think they realize, because these are more rational actors than, say, North Korea or Iran, they do realize that if you lose that U.S. support, and I think we have to make that louder and clear. You lose the U.S. support, and you're dealing with countries who are morally vague. That means China and Russia, they only help you when it benefits them. They're not there in a NATO alliance to defend you. And they don't. Once you're no longer helpful to their economy, they're not going to keep wheeling and dealing with you,
right?
With military options. So Turkey has that unique relationship, the only country in that region that does. To give that up, which they've toyed with, yep, would be, I think, catastrophic, and we have to make that point clear to the Turks.
Yep. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We have time for a quick call here before the break?
Sure, let's go to James in Las Vegas, Nevada, on line one. James, you're on the air, and if you want to call 1-800-684-3110, now is the time.
All right, James, go ahead.
James, you there? All right, moving on. Let's take a comment here. Let's find a good one. You go ahead. I'll try to find some.
Well, I want to say what we're doing today, because the UN activities have started today, and I'm going to be up there tomorrow. But what we're focusing on is, again, I want everybody in our audience to know what we're focusing on, and that is three primary focuses. One, of course, is, again, this is not in the order of importance, but although Andrew Brunson's matter is very important because it's for his family, that's number one, so it should be, and it's very important for us. Andrew Brunson's release, we're going to go to the UN talking about that. I've already had the opportunity to talk with Ambassador Haley about that on Friday, so that's number one. Number two, I think this is also really important in the overall kind of scheme of this, is we are very concerned about the ongoing Christian persecution in the Middle East, in a lot of these regimes. That has to be protected, but it's not just Christians, it's Yazidis and others, but Christians, of course, are receiving a brunt of it. Number three, our defense of Israel is ongoing at the UN. You're always in a defensive posture, unfortunately, when you're at the UN on Israel. We're doing that. And then, of course, on the other issues that our country's facing, whether it's North Korea and the laws of armed conflict, we engage on those issues as well. So all of that is going on. I'm going to be, like I said, I'll be in New York tomorrow dealing with some of this directly, and I had opportunities already to deal with the Andrew Brunson matter. But, you know, Jordan, it's unfortunate we only got a minute here before the break. We'll take calls at 800-684-3110. But on Andrew Brunson's matter, when they get to a year, we always know it's a dangerous time.
Yes, and things are changing. Charges have been brought.
Yep.
It's a different negotiating point. Before, there weren't charges yet, kind of being held without charge. When a government charges someone with things serious, it makes it more difficult for that government to tell its populace why they're just letting that person go. So that becomes more difficult. You have family members involved. I mean, there's a whole host of reasons why I think we have to redouble our efforts. This is at a week where the world comes together.
Yep.
And we can make these cases known and shed more light on them, which is we're in the works to do now, because, again, it's approaching that most unfortunate of anniversaries.
Yep. All right, we'll take more calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your comments as well. We encourage you to do that. And we got a lot more to talk about. Last segment, we'll take it on any topic. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. By the way, if you're in the Chicagoland area, I'm going to be at with the Jay Sekulow Band at Judson University on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock for a concert that we're going to be doing. The whole band's going to be there. So it's free. It's open to the public. I guess you go to Judson University website. I think there's information there, but we're going to have a good time. Whole crowd will be there. All right, last segment of the broadcast, we're taking your calls on a variety of topics. I see we got some calls about Dianne Feinstein and the confirmation of judges. We've got other calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, you decide in which order we go.
Let's just go in order of hold. Let's go to James in Las Vegas. He back on?
Yep.
James, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, yes, sir, you're on the air.
Well, Jay, I just think that the UN would be much better served globally if it was a rapid response enforcement team that was the arm's length agency that was able to globally control conflicts and do something actively instead of meeting every year in a beautiful building in New York City.
Not so beautiful if you've been inside it, by the way. The buildings are, they need
much better on the outside.
Yeah, than it is on the inside.
Afar.
But, you know, you did raise the point of there are UN peacekeeping troops around. I don't want to say that because people that have served in the U.S. peacekeeping troops have been killed in action. Yeah. So it's not like they don't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, in Korea being one of those examples, right, on the DMZ, you've got them in the Middle East. You have them in places like Sudan. And, listen, there are a lot of countries that contribute soldiers to that, and it's not primarily the United States in those roles. And those countries experience soldiers that get killed trying to keep the peace. That's what, you know, we talked about, that broader issue.
Yep.
Also, is a strike force, that is not how the UN works.
No.
It's not quick like that.
And more peacekeeping.
It's more of a legislative-like body. So legislative bodies, just like our founding fathers when they founded our country, legislative bodies are intended to work slowly so that you don't have, which is fine, you don't have knee-jerk reactions. That doesn't mean, however, that even at the UN, you know, if North Korea pushed a little bit further, for instance, you could quickly have war declared by the United Nations. Don't forget the UN has got basically that power to act, and that is a major power at the international level.
All right, next caller we're going to try to get through all these calls, 800-684-3110.
That's right. Let's go to Alice in Greenville, South Carolina, online, too.
Hi, Alice.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Just want to let you know my husband and I will be praying for you as you go up to New York.
Thank you.
We're longtime supporters.
Thank you.
So my question is with Turkey and the pastor, what are the reasons? Do the reasons constantly change? I mean, what is...
They make up, Alice, they make up charges. I mean, they say it's action against the state. They just increase the charges on them, but they're still not public, but we know what they are. Look, they're using this as leverage and wedge. I mean, but this, is again, is a NATO ally. What's the initial charges, you know, actions against the state, and that's because he's a Christian pastor. Literally had been there for 23 years, never had a problem, but now they up the charges. That's what they, and this is typical of what they will do.
Yeah, so they're a little bit more transparent there than Iran in the sense that everything is not completely secret.
Although our lawyers there still have not seen the actual charges against him, the official charges.
They get reported out through the news.
Yeah.
But it is very serious. And what happens there is...
Although he's done nothing.
Within the government structure, you have power struggles. We saw the coup there, if it was fake, if it was real, whatever. You have power struggles. So a more hardline judiciary, which has been put in place, and the prosecutors that come with that, could very well be attempting to hamstring the president of Turkey.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to put too much on just one person because they could be being used by their lower, you know, judiciary officials who they may have put in because they were more agreeable but are more hard line so that they hamstring the ability of a president to act. Just like if our prosecutors brought major charges against someone, the president was trying to act diplomatically, it's tougher. It'll be tougher. Same thing, but even on a greater scale in a country where they start putting out in the news and then, like, it would be, you know, could it be the threat of real problems if you release someone like this without getting something in return, and what is that? And
so
it becomes a very complicated international thing. Now, we're the United States. They are an ally. We should be able to put our foot down. And I think that realizing more and more so, remember, we're able to work with this administration. This is not like Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. I mean, we even said when John Kerry came in, that was much better because it was not the Clinton Foundation running the State Department, basically. Again, we have... We're able to have the dialogue that you can't force a country, though, to do something. I mean, you can't force. You have to put the diplomatic pressure on heaven.
Yeah, I will tell you this. I mean, in any administration, I think it's fair to say that there are career people within these agencies also that are dedicated to trying to get Americans released. But there's also career people in these agencies who are not helpful.
Well, there's this other view in the State Department that says one life, one individual is not worth disturbing anything. that they've worked
right.
on. So
yeah.
you have to.
It's very complicated.
You have to be, as like President Trump is, you have to put in disruptors.
Yep.
And he has done that through people like Nikki Haley. But again, they've got to, they work through the top as they come in,
right.
down through so many levels of bureaucracy.
Let me encourage you to do this. Pray for Pastor Brunson and his family and pray for his release. I think we could be really specific and pray for his release. We're taking as much action as we can take and talking with as many leaders as we can around the world and, of course, here in the United States as a U.S. citizen. But pray for him. Pray for his family. I think that will make a big, big difference. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right. Let's keep going. Let's go to Sandra, who's calling in California on line three. You're on
the
air.
Hi, Sandra. Go ahead.
Hi. Hey. Shalom. Yep. Yes. I was reviewing the Constitution this weekend, and I was wondering how Feinstein could make that religious comment that his dogma spoke loudly.
Her dogma lives loudly within her.
The professor. Truly, sadly.
Yep.
But Article 6 says at the end of the no religious test
right.
shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States.
Which means you can be any religion you want or no religion whatsoever, and it's not supposed to play. But here, the dogma lives loudly within you. We are going to get back into that topic probably towards the end of this week because, yes, Dianne Feinstein doubled down on it this weekend. And I think the country, a lot of people are outraged about this. And, you know, right, left, and center, you should be outraged at what she said and did. There is no excuse for that kind of, I'll call it what it is, religious bigotry.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Dianne Feinstein. Honestly, she got a lot of criticism from the left for saying give President Trump time. And then she's like doubled down on the furthest left rhetoric you can use, which is to call someone dogmatic. She sounds like an atheist organization. It does not sound like typically she would go at these issues where she disagrees, not by calling someone dogmatic, but just on the policy itself, regardless of what's backing that policy, whether it's your religious faith or some mixture of your faith. Obviously, these people are so non-religious or they have no idea about what real faith is, that the interplay of faith, life, having an impact in your daily decision-making process is so, I mean, you'd say it's a U.S. center with a lot of experience, so far above their head, they don't understand the interplay because they see religion as something you could show up to. Some of them are Catholic. Some of them are, you know, they're Jewish. But they show up to and you leave that in a box. It's not part of your life.
All right, I think we can grab the last call in, Logan.
All right, last call. RJ in Okeechobee, Florida. You're on the air on line five.
Hi, RJ. Go ahead.
How you doing, Jay?
Good, sir.
I'm using my Skype.
Just go ahead.
But, Jay, I really feel that instead of all these sanctions that the United Nations is putting on North Korea, it's time for action, military action.
Well, I understand what you're saying, RJ. Let me just say, we've had our military experts on here, and while it may come to that, I hope it doesn't, the ramifications of that are very serious because military action against Korea, North Korea, will have consequences for South Korea and Japan and maybe other places as well. So while military options should be on the table, I'm sure they are on the table. They've all said it. That would be Secretary Mattis, as Nikki Haley said. Again, it's not something you want to see happen. All right, well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Tomorrow, the president gives his speech at the UN. There'll be others as well. We'll have full analysis. I'll be in New York. I'll try to get in, at least for some of the conversation, tomorrow as well, as we deal with this matters at the UN. And again, we appreciate your prayers for Pastor Andrew Brunson. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.